Disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. Hey everybody, welcome to AnCast. So aside from that whole People's Revolution thing in Egypt that just turned violent, and three quarters of the country being covered in a massive killer ice storm, the likes of which we have never seen, there really isn't much news this week, and, well, at least in the world of anime and manga. Big news everywhere else, but not for us. So instead of doing a normal first segment, we're just going to get right into our panel discussion on comedy in anime, which I have to admit turned out to be a lot more difficult to expound upon in any kind of fashion that felt definitive. Much more difficult than I thought it would be. So listen, enjoy the hopefully enjoy the conversation. Give us your take on comedy and what you think and what you love in the forums. I'm very curious to know people's opinions on it, because rarely do we get a subject that's this subjective, where it is down to a person what their take on this subject is, and there's not a whole lot of like facts you can point to or anything like that. So this is one I hope generates a lot of chatter, and I look forward to hearing from all of you. Thanks for listening, and here it is.
Did you ever notice how men always leave the toilet seat up? That's the joke.
You suck, McBain!
Okay, we're back. My guest this week for our little comedy and anime panel chat is JapanEditor.com editor-in-chief, Brad Rice. Hey, Brad.
Out of there.
And Anime Boston and sort of East Coast panel host, extraordinaire, and Twitter gadabout, I would say, Alex Levitt. How's it going, Alex?
Hey there.
So the challenge this week was to discuss all manner of comedy in anime. And I'm sure you guys agree with me on this, that there's virtually nothing more subjective than what someone finds funny. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes, very much so.
Aside from, like,
yeah,
favorite color.
I can go with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like people can't have bad senses of humor and there's no such thing as bad comedy, because, oh, there is. But what somebody responds to, what makes somebody laugh, is super subjective. So before we even get started here, I want to sort of go around the table and get two of your favorite comedy anime and your favorite stand-up comedian, because I think these are important places to start from when you're understanding someone's comic sensibility and what they find funny. So, Alex, why don't you go first?
All right. I guess the background for me is I did some comedy type stuff in high school and college. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of stand-up and improv. Okay. So stand-up comic for me would probably be Mitch Hedberg.
Okay.
I really like his kind of like dry, mundane presentation. Mm-hmm. But I also like a lot of kind of sketch comedy, like Monty Python's the obvious one, but then things like Second City or Whose Line Is It Anyway? And for the anime series, I'd probably go for more of the short joke, not quite romantic comedy stuff. So things like Detroit Metal City or Azumanga Daioh.
Okay, good picks. And Brad? Right.
Probably, honestly, because I enjoy the fact that he's got a whole story leading up to whatever his joke is, and it's not just a punchline. It's the whole absurdity of the situation. Plus, I love a lot of race jokes. And then for my two anime choices, I went with Azumanga Daioh and then Lovely Complex. I'm a big fan of manzai routines, so that's why that show came into place.
Briefly, so the audience isn't familiar with manzai, go into that a little bit.
Sure. Manzai routines are the easiest way to explain it to a Western audience is Abbott and Costello. You've got a straight man and a funny man, and they've got a really rapid fire back and forth routine. Oftentimes, you know, the straight man might end up hitting the funny man when he tells a stupid punchline. But that's essentially how it works. It got a lot of popularity for the longest time down in Osaka area, which is also where Lovely Complex is set. But if you're watching like Level E this season, it's the same sort of idea. You've got a lot of really quick back and forth between the characters, and then there's often a stupid punchline.
For me, I am a comedy nerd to kind of a ridiculous extent. I could name at least 25 comedians that I follow off the top of my head. If I had to pick a favorite, I couldn't pick one. I'd have to pick two: Patton Oswalt, Louis C.K. And again, I could name a giant string of comics that I follow. I'm just a big nerd for comedy. But for anime, it's a little tough for me because I don't normally like anime comedy. And I think it's because my sensibilities as a comedy nerd are so entrenched in the Western quote-unquote alt comedy scene, which kind of was sort of given birth to by Mr. Show back in the 90s, that the sensibility is totally different. But for anime, the closest that it gets to me is the sort of absurdism of like a Cromartie High School, which the manga is much funnier than the anime is. The anime doesn't really get it right, but it's funny. Like, the manga is really funny. And Level E, which is the most recent thing I've seen that I thought was actually really hilarious. Level E makes me laugh out loud, which is not common for anime for me at all. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I want to start our discussion, is that huge gulf, that huge difference between what is funny in an anime and what's not, and what doesn't really work for Western audiences. Do either of you have a particular spin on this, on the Japanese comic sensibility? Like, if you could boil it down, I guess we'll go with Alex on that.
Ooh. I feel like you probably have to dig a little deeper into what comedy you're talking about, because there are different kinds that kind of...
Of course.
Make themselves appear in anime. So, for instance, you kind of have, like, the yonkoma, or the four-panel comic that translates into anime, kind of like Azumanga Daioh style, or Lucky Star style, where you have really short jokes interplayed a lot throughout a certain episode. Or you can have more of like the passing joke that is comedic and might make you laugh, but it's not really a comedy series per se. Something maybe like a Toradora, where it has romantic comedy elements in it, but it's not really a comedy. And then there are things that are very instilled in being a Japanese person. So something like Sayonara Zetsubou-sensei, mm-hmm. where it really relies on puns and knowledge of Japanese history and contemporary politics and stuff like that. And I think that last one is really the kicker for people who don't really get it at all. And I feel like the short jokes that are very colloquial, everyday people can just watch it and get something out of it without needing to understand these like Japanese references or even otaku references. That kind of Azumanga style is probably the easiest to approach for an American audience, at least.
Brad, your take?
My take is that I think part of the problem is the such weak punchlines of what's been more popular, like Alex was saying about the four coma style of, I'm thinking more along the lines of Lucky Star, K-On, Hidemaru sketch, where it's a lot of cute things happening and it might produce a chuckle or two, but it's not really like, I guess it doesn't have a strong comedy presence. You get more attached to the characters and you can kind of go through it, but the humor is not really there. Like, you can't just pop into episode 12 of Lucky Star and be laughing your ass off. You kind of, you have to have been following the show to get it. At least that's how I see it. That's one of the biggest problems right there.
Well, not only that, but Lucky Star is basically a parade of in-jokes.
Yeah.
You have to be part of the culture to laugh at Lucky Star. It's not, yeah. It's not even just the show itself.
Yeah, but even to take it to something a little bit more mainstream, like, let's say, Hidemaru's sketch, I feel like that worked fine as a manga, but watching the anime was, okay, it's cute and it's pretty, but I can't get myself to laugh as much at it.
Yeah, I mean, it occurred to me as I was thinking about this that I think the biggest hurdle is the fact that one of the golden rules of comedy is that the fastest way to kill a joke is if you have to explain why it's funny. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have to read translation notes in order to make me laugh, and I never do. Like in something where it's like Sayonara Zetsubou-sensei, it's clever, but if I got to go to a glossary to figure out why it's funny, I'm not going to laugh at it. That's not funny. It's a question mark, and then it's not like it doesn't get a huge response. And I think that's kind of the biggest thing. And the earliest example I can think of was back in the bad old days in the late 90s, we were all watching Kodomo no Omocha on fan subs, and every episode would be bathed in cultural references and puns that don't make any sense to an English reader. Everyone's laughing at the slapstick, of course, and the character reaction shots and stuff. But mm-hmm. a lot of the humor was distinctly punny and steeped in Japanese cultural references, and therefore, I don't necessarily think universally it makes it not funny to an American audience. But I think that's why anime comedy in particular struggles with the Western audience, because unless you're familiar with all that stuff, and I think by now a big portion of the otaku audience is familiar with that, and they don't need the reference notes anymore. But I think that's the biggest hurdle. Do either of you particularly find anime comedy where it does need to be explained to you funny?
Well, I spent a little bit of time in Japan, and so I know a little bit of Japanese just to get by. Mm-hmm. And while I can watch certain series, and I tend to watch them with subtitles, I can sometimes understand the jokes. A lot of them usually go over my head, though, just because I'm not steeped or knowledgeable in whatever's going on in Japan right now. So, like, I will not get references to contemporary pop culture, things like that. And I definitely shy away from things that are heavily reliant on puns and language. So if there's a really simple pun and they visualize it on screen, I'll be like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. But it probably wouldn't be that funny to me. But at the same time, I really don't want to label all comedic anime as comedies, because there are certain types, as I explained before. And you can look at certain ones that are funny. Like, if you were to go to the manga for Great Teacher Onizuka, for example, mm-hmm. it's a really funny series, and you don't really need to get any cultural references to understand that. And I think that is a really good manga that works well for American audiences, because there's no kind of, like, cultural barrier there. But in terms of actually understanding jokes without localization, it's obviously pretty difficult if you don't know Japanese.
Speaking of, you mentioned the GTO manga, which I read start to whatever Tokyo Pop got up to. I can't recall if they finished it or not.
Yeah, they finished it.
Yeah.
Okay, then I think I read the whole thing, but it was a while ago. And that made me laugh. And the Azumanga Daioh manga, Four Comas, I laughed at that. The anime left me cold, but the manga I thought was funnier. And to me, this is obviously an issue of comic timing, which is really important. Just seems to work better on the page, especially in stuff based on Four Coma. Do you guys agree with that? Have you noticed that phenomenon? Like, the Four Coma works as a comic strip, but not really as an anime?
Oh, without a doubt, because you're filling so much time. I mean, if you could just point to the first couple episodes of Lucky Star, where it was, you know, take the strip, put it on the screen, put another strip, and then just kind of fill in the gaps with what seemed like dead air. So often, you know, especially with Four Coma, the joke just, it goes, it's done, you move on. But in the anime versions, you've got to somehow drag the plot on in between all those jokes. So it gets to really kill it. I've pretty much stopped watching Four Coma series and instead just go for the manga when I can.
Right.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I actually really like Four Coma series. Like, Lucky Star was hilarious to me, and I bet that a lot of it's kind of like the geek culture that you need mm-hmm. to understand it for. But even the earlier episodes where they're just kind of hanging around in class, I thought that was pretty funny. But then again, I kind of go for the mundane stuff too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I thought Genshiken was funny, but only because I recognized so much of the situation. Like, it was very familiar to me, so I thought it was funny. I wouldn't recommend it as a comedy to really anyone who didn't attend an anime club at some point in their life. Mm-hmm. And so I think, especially with Lucky Star and a lot of, I think a lot of the comedy series that are coming out now do rely on a very otaku sensibility. It's a series of in-jokes as part of being, it's a part of being in a culture. And so that brings me to another point, which is a lot of people complain about that kind of humor because they're not writing jokes. It's just references. They're just referencing things that you know. It's not really a joke, which is what people complain about with something like Family Guy. Have you recognized that phenomenon? Do you see that? Is it an issue? I mean, Alex, you said you like that kind of thing. But do you think it's kind of limiting what people are willing to produce in terms of comedy anime? Are we just getting that stuff now?
No, I don't think you should prescribe it to things that are coming out now, because you can look at things like Otaku no Video, and that was, what, 1992, 91?
Yeah, that was a while ago.
And it's the same kind of otaku reference stuff. And yeah, it's funny for certain capabilities that it has beyond just references, but it's definitely not something that's become more, I guess, inset into every single anime. Again, it really depends on what kind of show you're talking about. If it's really otaku-centric and it's meant to be directed at otaku, then yeah, probably like a generic American audience wouldn't be recommended to watch that show because it's made for a specific Japanese audience. And unless you're a really hardcore otaku in America, then yeah, maybe you'll get it, but it's probably not for you.
So do you think that otaku comedy then, what we're getting now in terms of comedy anime, which is mostly otaku comedy, I think Level E is the first comedy I've seen in a while that didn't really rely a lot of otaku references. Do you think that's even more impenetrable than some of the hardcore like moe stuff, like a Strike Witches? Which one would you show a fresh audience first?
Between Strike Witches and something that's super referential, like Lucky Star, you mean?
Yeah, or... like if you had to show somebody, if you had a choice, a binary choice, one or the other, hardcore otaku comedy or a super hardcore moe show, which one do you think would has even a shot at connecting with someone who's not familiar with anime?
To be honest, I would say the hardcore moe show.
You think so? Why is that?
It's weird. I've seen especially not to stereotype, but in my armchair experience, when I've shown like hardcore moe shows to especially female friends of mine, they're more willing to take to it. And usually the guys, as long as they're not like, okay, I'm watching creepy 2D fetishistic porn, they'll take to it as well. So the hardcore jokes, it's literally like, well, why do you even bother watching it? It's like showing an 80-year-old person, what the hell is his name? The guy who used to be on The Daily Show. Really deadpan humor, look kind of young.
Dimitri Martin?
Yeah. It's like showing Dimitri Martin's humor, I feel like.
Okay, that's, I think that's a good point. Alex, would you agree with that? Would you show him the hardcore moe before the comedy?
If we were going to go for a Lucky Star and Strike Witches as the balance,
yeah.
I probably would actually go for, it really depends on audience. If it were kind of geeky friends, I'd probably show them Lucky Star. Otherwise, I'd probably go for Strike Witches. Mainly because Strike Witches has more of a plot that someone could easily follow. But it's not necessarily a comedy anyway, so it really depends on what the goal of showing the anime would be. If you're going for comedy, then Strike Witches might not necessarily be the thing to show them unless they're really trying to get a laugh out of panty shots every 5 seconds. But then again, I also don't want to prescribe this kind of like vague term of moe onto every show that might have moe elements in it.
No,
because you can have something that's very, very fan service-y. But at the same time, you can have something that's more kind of like a modern sitcom, like K-On!, which is not as fetishistic, but it still kind of fits into the moe category.
Well, the point I'm driving at is which is less penetrable, which might have a broader appeal. Because it's interesting to me, because the common knowledge has been like, if you're not in otaku culture, you are not going to understand what the hell Strike Witches is or why it was even made in the first place. That's sort of the common thinking on that. Whereas Lucky Star is even less accessible because there's nothing worse than jokes you don't understand and can't get. So the point I'm driving at is, which is less penetrable, which is even more steeped in its own culture and referencing itself and sort of barring itself off from outsiders.
Isn't that kind of the same logic they had behind Seinfeld in that show might not succeed, but because it's too New York?
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. But eventually, it broke through and didn't break through for 3 or 4 seasons, so people had time to understand who these characters were. Mm-hmm. Lucky Star doesn't quite have that. Not only that, it's not trying to be broad at all. Mm-hmm. It's specifically aimed at this one audience. But comparing the two, that brings me to another point: is the sheer amount of sex comedy that there is, and there's a lot of it.
Oh God.
And I think it's personally, I see it as a crutch, and I don't really laugh at sex comedy jokes in anime. I think it's kind of boring. And not only that, it's not funny to me when it's just fan service, but they treat it like it's comedy. Like, oh no, my shirt got ripped off. And you're clearly supposed to be laughing at this. But then the camera leers at her breasts for an extra couple of seconds. It's not funny, but that's a lot of anime comedy is a sex comedy. And you know, but everybody's got a different sense of humor. Are either of you find that the super body stuff, you know, particularly hilarious?
I dropped, I don't like my big brother at all after the second or third episode, because that's all it was. Like the first episode, I thought, okay, might have some promise. And then I just slogged through the rest, and I brought out the razor blades almost immediately, because it was nothing but, oh, look at me, look at me, look at me. And I'm just, Christ almighty.
Okay, you've got one joke. Alex, what about you?
I would probably go with a no. I don't feel like a lot of it's funny, just because we're constantly being battered with it. At least over the past like decade, you can see a queer trend in it. And I'm not really sure why they keep doing it. I assume probably not because they look at their audience and say, oh, this is what they would like, but more that they have certain experiences going into creating the show that they themselves might think it's a little bit funny, or they might get a smile out of it, and then they just throw it in there anyway. And I don't feel like there's actually one show that really kind of like hinges on that comedic element, but maybe I haven't seen it either. But at the same time, like if you're going for extremely sexualized content, that's supposed to be funny, you have some that really fail. But then there are some that actually do succeed. Like for example, there was this, one-shot OVA, which I think there's another one coming out called Henzemi. And it's about, this girl who is in a, I think it's college level seminar on psychology, but it's specifically targeted at sexual perversions. And it's like a half an hour one shot OVA. But it's actually really funny. It's a bit, I guess not a bit, it's really perverted. So depending on your level of, interest in that kind of stuff, or whether you might be squeamish about it, there are parts that are really kind of awkward. But I thought that the characterization was actually really, really good, and therefore I got a lot of comedic value out of that.
Right. And, you know, I was comparing these to American sex comedies, which are obviously written completely differently. But, you know, the shows that pop into my head immediately where people say, oh, it's hilarious, and it's just chock full of sex, over-the-top fan service and sex comedy, stuff like Bigata HK, even Kodomo no Jikan. But those are the kind of over-the-top shows I'm sort of pointing at here. And if you compare those to an American sex comedy, like, I don't know, take any of them from the 80s, where it's the quote-unquote fan service in those 80s sex comedies is separate from the jokes. The joke will be that someone got caught looking at a naked girl or something like that, and that's where the humor comes from. But the camera still lingers. Whereas in anime, they're sort of mashed together, where the nudity itself seems like it's supposed to be the joke. And that's where maybe that's where the disconnect is. Maybe that's why, you know, personally, I don't really respond to it. And maybe that's why a lot of anime fans don't really respond to it that much. I don't know. What do you guys
think? I think that's something uniquely Japanese, just in terms of the showing nudity and all that. That's just my guess. But
is it a cultural thing?
Yeah.
I'm actually going to disagree with that. I think it's kind of what you were getting at earlier, Zach, about otaku-specific trends. And if you were to look at other kind of Japanese comedies that are on mainstream TV, while a lot of Japanese TV is really bad, I think it really matches more so with American sex comedy or romantic comedy.
I think so. Okay.
And that might be just kind of like a live-action thing. But if you were to compare that directly to these otaku comedies, I think there's kind of like a disconnect there. I'm not really sure what it might be, but and I also don't really have that much experience watching Japanese comedies on regular TV anyway. But I feel like from what I have seen, that there is this kind of difference there.
Okay, no, I can see that. The most recent example that pops into my head of a comedy with lots and lots of nudity in it is Hot Tub Time Machine, which does occasionally play on the nudity is funny angle. So it's not uncommon. I just don't think it's as common as it is in anime sex comedies. It's just not. I think especially pointing to something like Kodomo no Jikan, where the joke is that, oh gosh, it's so inappropriate and so over the top, hypersexual, and that's supposed to be the joke. And I can't think of a parallel to anything like that in American comedy. It seems very uniquely otaku, very uniquely Japanese.
Along a similar train of thought is, I felt like humor really ruined watching Higurashi. Did you ever watch the show?
I haven't gotten to it yet, but that was sort of my next topic, is some examples of where it doesn't work, or there's comedy in some place it shouldn't be. Sounds like, in your opinion, Higurashi is one of them.
Yeah, well, Higurashi in and of itself, it's good to pair off humor and the light aspects of everyday life in Hinamizawa, the town, mm-hmm. with some of the darker and more sinister things that happen. But it's just what goes on in like the lighter side of things is so offensively stupid. I can just chalk that up to being Studio Dean and they don't know how to produce a good show. But it's just like the animation tanks. The humor is just aimed at a 5-year-old. And what I don't understand is, like, I go ahead and read the manga versus that. And the manga just tackles like those humorous or lighter aspects so much better because it allows for a sudden change to something more dramatic. And the anime, it hurts me so much, but I know a lot of people love it. That's one of those things that it just really kills me.
See, I know lots of people that sing the praises of Higurashi, and they never talk about the comedy. They only talk about the dramatic element and the real sort of edgy, disturbing elements of that show. Matter of fact, I didn't even know there was humor in it.
It's actually more than half the show.
Really?
That's the
okay,
thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. You got to be prepared for that when you go in.
Wow. But you mentioned the comedy being fairly childish. And mm-hmm. I think that's another thing that we see a lot of. The most recent example I can think of is Rio, Rainbow Gate. Have either of you guys subjected yourself to that yet?
No.
I let the rest of my staff handle that. I didn't want to touch it.
Okay. The comedy is really childish. Like, basic slapstick stuff that you would see. You know, really pained, badly written slapstick comedy. And I see a lot of that. And I feel like the last time I laughed at slapstick comedy in an anime was in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s. But there's a ton of it. They really love that stuff over there. But again, I think that's part of the Japanese comic sensibility. Slapstick is still huge. That's still really huge, whereas it's kind of past its day in American stuff.
Yeah, because it's part of that manzai routine.
Right.
That would be why I'd say it's still there.
I wonder if it's also tied into the whole history of gag manga, because there is this kind of, I guess you could call it a genre of manga, which is specifically about gags. And so you have some anime adaptations like Gag Manga Byori, which is really just like heavy hitting, really in my eyes, bad jokes, like one after the other every 5 seconds.
Is it intentionally corny? Is it just sort of like a class? People see it as like classic, like Three Stooges or Laurel and Hardy.
It's not that physical.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious what the sensibility is, because people still point to, you know, those old serials and old black and white stuff, you know, Marx Brothers, Three Stooges, as being funny. Still being funny now, but it's nostalgia. People point to it as classic comedy. Is the manzai stuff, is that what it's considered in Japan? I'm trying to get sort of behind the sensibility here.
Oh no, I think manzai is I think it's kind of what you would see in America as regular stand-up comedy, like one person stand-up comedy. Okay. And you'll see a lot of live action shows that are specifically manzai, and it was actually so big in Osaka that people will recognize jokes that were wicked popular from the big name groups that were playing in like the 80s. So like, for example, when I was living in Kyoto, I learned that if you point your fingers at someone and go bang, kind of like with the gun hand gesture, the other person, usually recognizing the joke, will grip their chest and fall to the ground, just because it was one of those big jokes from the manzai groups back then.
Okay. So that's more like your super mainstream American comedy. Like your Dane Cooks and your Carlos Mencias and your Your Two and a Half Men, that kind of
thing.
Is
it just hurting you to name off each of these? Because I feel like a little bit of your soul is dying each time you say one of them.
Again, I said I'm a comedy nerd, also a snob. So yes, it hurts me, but I don't begrudge that. I mean, I acknowledge that my taste is different, and I think everybody's taste is different. And while I think those guys suck, and I hate Two and a Half Men, I'm not going to deny the simple pleasure it gives to people who just want to laugh after a hard day's work or whatever. That's fine. But it sounds to me like that's because if you have people on the street quoting jokes to each other, that's as close as you can get to super mainstream.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like there isn't kind of like the Aristocrats level humor in a lot of anime. There's nothing that's like extremely, extremely clever. And you might see it in manga, like the author of Saint Onisan, Hikaru Nakamura, mm-hmm. who did Arakawa Under the Bridge. When that translated into anime, I felt like it lost a lot of the humor that was in the manga. And the humor in the manga, I think, was very kind of like cleverly the Aristocrats level. But when it went to the anime, it kind of took on that really fast-hitting gag style. And I didn't really like that.
Well, that Arakawa Under the Bridge brings me to my next point is Japanese anime comedy, people who are known for comedy and anime. And off the top of my head, I can only think of two. And if you guys can think of any others, please let me know. But obviously, Nabishin comes to mind, who I've interviewed many times wearing, while he's always wearing that costume. So clearly, this is his thing. and Shinbo, who did Arakawa Under the Bridge, and what are his other shows? Panty Pony Dash and
Zetsubou Sensei.
Okay. And so these are the two guys. Anyone else you can think of off the top of your head?
In,
that are specifically known for comedy anime.
I have no idea. I know that JC staff does a lot of comedy stuff, but that's not kind of their main shtick. But I don't know anyone in particular.
Right. So off the top of our heads, we can think of two guys who are known for anime comedy. And it's those two guys. And I'm curious what you're taking on. Because 10 years ago, Excel Saga was the shit. Like, everybody was losing their minds over Excel Saga. And Nabishin is still kind of doing that. He's been doing that for, you know, the last 10 years. And Shinbo has kind of been doing the same thing over and over again, too. Are either of you fans? And what do you think of their work? I'll start with Alex on this.
I liked Nabishin when I was in, like, late high school. Nowadays, I feel like if I were to return to it, I wouldn't like it as much. But I think it blends the slapstick and the general comedy pretty well. For like a general audience to get. As far as Shinbo, it really depends on the series. I feel like he's really otaku directed, and so it's kind of reflected in how he does his comedy style. So like some things are hit, some things are miss, and it really depends on the joke rather than the actual series as a whole.
Yeah, I think Shinbo tries some really unique stuff. I watched a little Arakawa Under the Bridge, and he was doing wild takes with the camera and with the scenery, which you don't really see that often. I don't think I've ever seen that before, where someone's attempting to make the scenery have a wild take, which is just really weird. But Brad, what's your take?
I've been a bigger fan of Shinbo than Nabishin, mm-hmm. Mostly because I've only watched a very limited amount of Nabishin stuff, like some of Narima Daikon Brothers and The Wallflower.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, with Shinbo, I went ahead and I've seen a handful of his titles, and I kind of enjoy the fast pace of Arakawa and Zetsubou Sensei. That I really enjoyed. And I like a lot of what he does visually, so I've been more attached to him.
But would you say that these two are stepping outside of... Because I don't think Nabishin... I think you could point to Nabishin as doing pretty mainstream, straightforward stuff. You don't have to be an otaku to understand his comedy sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could find his stuff funny without being a super anime fan. Shinbo less so. Shinbo's more in that otaku circle.
Without a doubt. But at the same time, with how the anime industry has generally trended, becoming a more and more hardcore otaku base, his popularity is probably growing more and more. So it feels like, you know, Nabishin was good for when he did a lot of his works earlier on, and Shinbo, I feel like, is more appropriate for where the anime industry is right now. Not necessarily a good thing, but it's probably the best we're getting for comedy within the industry.
Okay.
I feel like one general critique might just be that the script writing in anime has kind of slipped maybe a little bit. And you'll see like really good scripts in a few, but not maybe half compared to like a decade ago when the OVA boom was like just finishing off. And I think that's kind of what Dai Sato was getting at when he had that kind of big argumentative spiel that he did at whatever meeting it was in Japan, when he said that the anime industry is going to hell and more people need to make shows like the ones that I'm making. But I think he was really getting at that a lot of the scripts themselves are not as strong as they probably could be. And we're seeing a lot of, or not a lot, but some fairly innovative anime that are working on previous ones that and doing a better job of it, but the scripts themselves are still lagging behind a bit. And I think that's probably one of the symptoms of not seeing great comedy is that people aren't really taking a step further than they could be.
Right. No, that's I wouldn't disagree with that.
I kind of wonder then, where is that comedy talent going? Because Japanese drama, television dramas have always kind of been, well, over the top, absurd, and not exactly good production quality. So the latter is usually what I laugh at. And I don't know about Japanese film or stand-up much, but do you think that that's where the excess is going, or just in general Japanese comedy is starting to dry up in terms of general production talent, in terms of like writing?
Well, I can tell you that from what I've noticed from being there, from being bored in a hotel room in Tokyo for 6 hours in the middle of the day on a Tuesday and turning the TV on and flipping channels and looking at what's in the theaters, general family comedy seems to be the rule of the day. A lot of slapstick, a lot of wild takes, a lot of puns, you know, stuff like that, like Alex was talking about before. So I think in general, I don't know where the anime talent is necessarily going, but yeah, I mean, it's very mainstream. It's very mainstream stuff.
I'd also say that we're not really seeing any specific comedy shows, unless we're talking about like Arakawa Under the Bridge, for example. But we're seeing kind of the intermeshing of comedy with other genres, which I guess you could probably fit or what people have used the term slice of life to kind of fit over those meshed up genres. So for example, like I really enjoyed Princess Jellyfish, which I thought was pretty funny, and it balanced the funny with whatever else it was doing in the show. And it was kind of hitting on the otaku tropes a little bit, but at the same time, it still had its own comedic value.
You know, maybe what we could say is most of the time, the best comedy is in shows you wouldn't necessarily label a comedy, where it's just good writing. And they wanted it to be funny every now and then, and it's just well written, like Princess Jellyfish. I'm not necessarily certain I would call that a comedy, straight comedy per se.
Right, exactly.
But it is very funny at times, and maybe that's sort of what we're looking at, is that they're getting better at blending these things together. And anime's never been known for sticking so hardcore to one specific genre. Like, it's a fantasy, and it's a comedy, and it's a drama, and it's got some sci-fi in there. You know, there's a million different things in one show. So maybe that's what we're looking at. And like, the straight comedies generally reflect either the hardcore otaku sensibility or the mainstream comedy sensibility. And you can kind of break it down that way. Maybe that's what we're looking at.
Yeah, and I think the blending isn't really a new thing anyway. So you can look back a decade and look at, like, Slayers, for example, which is just not the best amalgamation of comedy and whatever else. But then you also have things like Cowboy Bebop, which has great comedic episodes, like the mushroom hunting episode, or even another mainstream title, Trigun, which the first half is pure comedy and pure slapstick, but then it builds on that to make the second half, the serious half, that much more like a dichotomy from the first half.
Yeah, I think we're onto something. Yeah, like that Cowboy Bebop is hilarious in some episodes, but there's no way I would describe it to anybody as a comedy. So yeah, I don't know, that's an interesting take on it.
And if you even wanted to get a bit more detailed, you could look at things like Tatami Galaxy, for example, where the comedy isn't really in the show, but you could look at the voice acting specifically as one of the comedic elements. Like, I don't think voice acting of any other show really hit as well that season as Tatami Galaxy did. And I don't actually know who the voice actor or the narrator was, or the protagonist, but he did a really good job, and I thought that he really carried the show in terms of a comedic level throughout every episode.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get to Twitter. We've got a ton of Twitter questions here, a ton of topics. And first up from Penguin Truth, and you know we needed to get to this at some point. When a comedy anime is dubbed into English, is it better to stay loyal to the Japanese script or rewrite the jokes? Brad, you first.
Really depends on the show, but honestly, I think you're better off rewriting the jokes, especially if you're dubbing it into English, because if it's going to be funny, you may as well actually try to make it funny.
And Alex?
I think we have to kind of define the you there, which is obviously the production company. So I feel if the production company feels like they can localize it to a degree that it'll be really successful, then yeah, totally go for it. But it seems like for the most cases, you're going to get a dub and a sub anyway. So even if you don't like the dub, you can just switch to the sub. So I don't think it's really that much of an issue for viewers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little torn on this because I have very mixed feelings about the rewrites I've seen over the years. And I've gotten to a point where I don't care if you're adapting the original jokes. I don't care if you're totally rewriting them. All I care about is whether or not it's actually funny. And that seems to get lost in this discussion a lot. Like, I didn't particularly find the Sergeant Frog rewrite funny, but the original show I didn't really find all that hilarious either. So, you know, I don't know, but they totally rewrote that show. So it's, you know, to me, it completely comes down to the writer who's doing the writing. If it's funnier in Japanese, by all means, I'll watch the Japanese.
One thing I feel like kind of not really sure about, I guess, would be rewriting the entire thing so that it's completely different. So the obvious example is Shin-chan, where, yeah, it was really, really well done, and it was really funny when they localized it. But in terms of how that reflects on the original show, I feel like it kind of does a disservice to it in a way. But at the same time, most of the American audience that is going to be watching it is probably not even going to look at the Japanese version. So that kind of just pushes me back to, yeah, it's fine.
Okay, from ABCB Tom wants to know, okay, he's being sarcastic here, so I think I'll read this in the cadence that it was intended. Why is it always so funny when girls can't cook? That's a joke that will just never get old. She cooks for the boy and he cooks for her, and his is good and hers is always bad, and she's a girl. So I think he's commenting on the sheer repetition of comedy that you see in anime, which I cannot disagree there. I think I've seen this joke in almost every harem comedy I've ever seen.
Well, it seems like he's actually kind of getting at the content of the joke itself. And what I think he's saying is that why is it funny that when a guy cooks, it's suddenly amazing? And I guess that's kind of like a Japanese culture thing where usually the guy is not meant to or not known to cook well because it's kind of the housewife task or the girl growing up in a household who learns to cook. And so when a guy is suddenly able to do it, like in Toradora, which is Ryuji, the protagonist's kind of like special skill, it's this amazing thing. And yeah, like when it is repeated every single time, of course, it's probably not that funny. But I feel like if you're a Japanese viewer watching that, you'll probably relate to it at least, even if it's not funny. And so it's not so much a joke rather than just kind of like culturally situating yourself in the show.
Yeah, well, he says specifically, he's being sarcastic and says that's a joke that will never get old. That's sarcasm. So I think he was more pointing to the fact that they use this a lot and it's completely overused.
Yeah, but I actually see it more as a setup. I mean, you see something similar in just about every three-camera sitcom in the U.S. I mean, whether it's, you know, the guy has scheduled himself for an appointment with one girl and a date with another, and it's like, well, how is he going to do this? And you'll see that again and again and again, but what you're really looking for is what's the actual execution going to be? I look at it as more of a setup to something more.
It's a structure, and then what you do with that structure is
what's
important. Right. No, I understand that.
You know. That makes sense. I feel like what a lot of directors or production companies could probably do, though, is at least attempt to play around with that a little bit. And I think that's like kind of what you see in stand-up in America, where a lot of comics are building off some older jokes and kind of like rewriting them so that they're better. And yet we don't really see that in a lot of anime. And it's kind of relying on these repeated jokes over and over again, and therefore it becomes stale. So I wonder if in the future, which would be nice, if we could see things that subtly played with older trends, and if that would work.
From V-Guy, everyone's favorite guy, V-Guy. He says, if you guys ever had difficulty with a series which outwardly seemed to be comedy but was really a dark satire, he's comparing this to that scene in Natural Born Killers where they're playing a laugh track during a really violent and disturbing scene. They're not jokes, but, you know, it's presenting itself as comedy. I don't see a lot of that in anime. That's the kind of that's the kind of nervous laughter where it is funny, but it's more it's really nervous. It's like this is sort of hitting you in the gut pretty hard. That's a.
Can you think of any example? I can't.
Moments in Evangelion, sure. I mean, this is V-Guy we're talking about, so I think it's probably probably what he's driving at. But there are things in Evangelion that are such dark satire that I certainly laughed, but it was like, oh shit, you know, that kind of laughter. Yeah, it's real. It's really rare. It's rare in American comedy. It's rare across the board. So I mean, since I can't think of any examples that really exemplify that off the top of my head in anime. I couldn't tell you, but I always recognize it when I see it. I mean, you guys understand the concept I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
But it's
actually like another related thing that I don't see a lot of is just dark comedy in general. Like you don't see a Royal Tenenbaums-esque anime.
No. Yeah. You don't see a lot of dark comedy. You certainly don't see a lot of black comedy in anime. And I mean like, examples in American comedy are like, the movie Very Bad Things or The Rules of Attraction. This is pitch black comedy that's more shocking and disturbing than it is hilarious, but it is intended to be funny. And you don't see that in anime really hardly ever. He goes on to say, problem he's run into is that with anime's super flat movement is that the casual American audience often takes things presented as jokes at face value when in fact they're really not jokes, they're at best biting satire of another genre. I.e., some of the more sitcom-like moments from Evangelion are often actually accepted at face value, and they are meant to be ironic. The result being an accusation that it started as a comedy and then turned into a tragedy, but it was never really intended to be a comedy in the first place, just satire. Now, again, you don't see this very often in anime at all, but I do know what he's talking about. But irony is one of those things that I miss, that I think is missing from Japanese comedy to a large extent, that means I don't really connect with it, because I need a lot of irony in my comedy. It just has to be there, and just as a Western comedy fan. And that, I don't know, do you guys notice that? That it seems to be something they've only really picked up on in the last maybe 10 years is irony.
I'd agree, at least in terms of everything that I've watched.
Yeah.
I think the reason why we don't see that, or why we don't see anything of like really black comedy, is because production companies can't afford to go ahead and take a chance with that stuff.
Yeah, it's a big
It's going to be, you're going to be lucky if it hits, and if it doesn't, it's going to bomb terribly.
Yeah.
And then, well, that production company might be out of a job entirely.
I feel like also that irony doesn't really exist in as much form as it does in American language that it does in Japanese language.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point.
That's probably why it doesn't manifest itself in comedy at all.
That's a really good point, and it stems from the fact that sarcasm is not huge in the Japanese language either. Would you agree?
Right,
would
right.
You, yeah, the one stems from the other, so it's I think we've identified a good little nugget there. We've talked about this a little bit, but he wants specific examples. He says, how much does knowing Japanese culture help you get anime humor? Any examples of jokes that you had to look up before you got it? In my early days as a fan, certainly, but that turned into more of a learning experience than a funny haha experience.
Anybody? As for specific examples, I don't know. I mean, as bad as it sounds, I kind of miss the days when I could watch a fan sub and it would explain the joke, because if I didn't understand the Japanese while I was learning it, that I could kind of like figure it out. But at the same time, I mean, those fan editions kind of sucked, so I'm not really sure what I can add.
For me, I think like Zetsubo pushed the limit.
Yeah.
Since I was I studied a lot of East Asian history in college, I got most of the jokes. There were a few that, you know, like you said, you just didn't get. And so I went ahead and looked it up. And again, it was a learning experience for me. But I appreciated the fact that they went, you know, that in depth into Japanese culture. They pulled out something that obscure. One of my favorite episodes of Zetsubou was the one where they had Commander Perry. and he was just left and right trying to open everything because, you know, that's what he did to Japan. He forced them open.
From Ed Sizemore, this is a good question because I think we've been a little downbeat. What comedy translates best in anime? And is it best to stick to slapstick if you're going to make a show for international audiences accessible?
I feel like anime does a really, or depending on the show, anime does a really good job with romantic comedy. And this goes back to things like Fruits Baskets, or even more romantic, maybe Katekano. Mm-hmm. Even though, of course, that has its dark elements. But the funny parts are actually pretty funny, and I think it's really easy to relate as a foreigner, too, because relationships are always just relationships. But there's just something that works well because the creators can craft characters really well, and it's not humans that are trying to act out these kind of like awkward situations. And so you can really nail down certain aspects of comedic relationships. So I think that's probably the best that anime does.
I pretty much agree. I think that the romantic comedies are the most easy to relate to because you can at some point pull in your own cultural feelings about, you know, how this relationship is progressing and some of the difficulties. I mean, even if, you know, situation A might not line up with, like, from Japanese culture to American culture, I could still draw an equivalent and, you know, be able to get the joke best. Slapstick will work, but I feel like that it's kind of cheap at times. So it's like, oh, yeah, you made me laugh, but I'm going to change the channel now.
Actually, let me add in one more. I think that there are some anime that are really bad and therefore good and hilarious. Like Mad Bull 34 is like the pristine example of that. And so I guess that's not a goal to work towards necessarily. But there are definitely some anime that are hilariously bad that have kind of become canon now. And those are definitely interesting to check out.
Yeah, right. I mean, Daryl will disagree with you, but yeah. Yeah, I think you guys are totally spot on. I've seen a lot more really funny romantic comedies that work really well, that are pretty well written, that are much funnier and better put together than something that's trying to be a straight comedy. They do it really well. Toradora being a really good example of a funny romantic comedy that works really well, and Karikano especially. And there are universal truths about relationships, especially among teenagers and people in college, that are so relatable across the board that they even translate from a completely different culture and society. There's plenty to relate to in those shows if you've been through anything like that. So, yeah, I would absolutely, romantic comedies, I would say they do it really, really well there. So that's a good point. I slapstick has to be absurdist or so for me to really think that it's worth anything. I'm not a big physical comedy guy, so I mean, it's just personally in my taste, I'm not a huge slapstick fan, so probably that's why a lot of anime comedy doesn't connect with me, because they really lean on slapstick a lot. I mean, shit, that's like 90% of the jokes in Love Hina.
I know we also decried this at the beginning, but I feel like anime really does do otaku comedy well.
Oh, for sure.
Even though it might get boring. And if you can kind of be the Oda King and get every reference, something like Otaku no Video is actually really, really funny.
Oh, for sure. You know, that's an important distinction to make. And again, we said at the beginning, there's nothing more subjective than what makes you laugh. And just because I don't think Lucky Star is funny doesn't mean it's not exceptionally well done for what it's trying to do, which is be an in-joke fest for otaku. And it's very good at that. And it's obviously its tremendous popularity points to that. So they're very good at it. Whether or not you think it's going to be funny is totally up to you, but you can't say that it's bad. Not to say there aren't really shitty, lazy otaku comedy. you guys ever see Seito Kai no Ichizon?
About two episodes and then dropped it.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
For shitty, lazy, hey otaku, you'll laugh at this. You recognize these character types, don't you? Like, just super lazy. But there's bad comedy everywhere, so it's not yet unique to anime. Side note, Hiro Yui wants to know if either of you have pre-ordered the Kara no Kyokai box.
No.
Okay.
Daryl Surratt wants to know, how does anime's reusage of gags compare with other comedies? It feels like many situations and punchlines haven't changed in decades. And we sort of addressed this before with, you know, structure. There's a structure, and then what you do with that defines whether or not what you're doing is any good. But I think he's right in that we haven't seen a shift in anime comedy, at least, aside from the otaku stuff, like we've seen in American sitcoms, where we went from the everything's three camera to, you know, half of it is one camera, single camera sitcoms, which is a totally different format and much funnier, I might have had. And thank God that we switched over to single camera, because I can't handle three camera comedies now. But we haven't seen that sort of dramatic shift, because not only did the shooting style change, the humor changed. We got rid of laugh tracks for a lot of it. Things really switched up. It got a lot more sophisticated, I would say. And aside from the switching over to otaku in-joke shows, I don't think we've seen that in anime yet.
Well, I don't think you have the sort of developed comic talent pool like you have in the U.S. Because if you think about it, some of that humor is derived from a huge gathering of writers at Saturday Night Live, a very large and experimental live comedy platform, and just how the general, like the big three television networks, will pull from that in various areas. So you don't get people defining something, like really striking it out, and then a network co-opting that and spreading it to the masses. You don't have that sort of technique. It's kind of everything stays in a stagnant pool within Japanese comedy, because I don't think there's anyone who is going to like go out and do really risque manzai comedies that will filter out into television or anime.
Well, I don't want to say that there isn't anyone, but whoever they are, we're not seeing it slip into anime yet. Maybe there is. I don't know that there's a big underground or alternate comedy scene in Japan. Whatever it is not in the mainstream. It's not in anime. It's not happening there. So maybe we're just not seeing it yet. But
I think a lot of the innovation in comedy is probably happening more online. So a lot of like original net animation is probably more geared towards being able to do what you want rather than being limited to what you can actually put on TV.
Right.
Like there are things like World of Golden Eggs, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of this?
I have not heard of this.
It's actually the number one selling animated DVD of the last decade.
Really? What is this thing?
Okay, so World of Golden Eggs is kind of like in between the comedy styles of Family Guy and South Park. And it's drawn in the style of like 3D flash animation.
Okay.
And you'll really recognize it because it has these big eyes and really thick red lips on the characters. And basically it's like really low-key comedy in really short bursts. And they're up, I think they were originally available online. I'm not so sure about that. But then they eventually released DVDs. And if you search for them online, most of them came with English subtitles too. So they're actually approachable to an American audience. And I think the storyline is basically just people living in this American style city and their interactions with people in daily life. And it's just kind of like Family Guy style jokes, but they're actually pretty good.
Interesting. Okay, well, I hadn't even heard of that, but it sounds like that's more along the lines of, like, I wouldn't classify it as, in the same terms as I would standard American comedy, but aside something that is from the underground, something that is what we were talking about before with an alternate comedy scene. That sounds like that's the product of that.
Yeah, I still think the internet is probably the place to look, because like you can see really clear examples. Wow, it just escaped me what the name of it is. Hetalia, which started as a net comic, and it became a show, which obviously cannot be shown on Japanese TV, as I kind of explained before. But because it's kind of shifted away from being limited by TV, it kind of can do what it wants to. And so there's this kind of like distinct separation between TV comedy and whatever else can go on online.
Okay, that's cool. So I think I can draw a parallel here. What we're seeing, the seeds of this stuff start popping up on the fringes of television anime comedy. The stuff is sort of popping up on the sidelines, but it hasn't made its way quite into the mainstream yet, and even mainstream otaku culture. Because I would certainly point to Hetalia, like it or hate it, you can't deny that it's pretty edgy for what it is, and it's not like anything I've certainly seen before in anime comedy. It's completely different, and I thought it was frequently pretty funny, but it is totally different, and it's not like anything I've seen before. So Yeah, I think we're seeing germs. We're seeing seeds. And obviously we're not familiar enough with underground, what's considered underground, or what's happening on the internet in Japanese comedy to really say one way or the other that it's a really strong community like we have here. But it does exist, and maybe we will start seeing it creep into our standard anime comedy. At least I hope so, because I like that kind of thing.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Daryl also asks, many anime comedies are presented, perceived as parodies of a genre. Where do you each draw the line between parody and awful? Brad, why don't you take this one first?
That's tough. I feel like parody usually be, I draw the line between parody and awful is when the parody can add something that's legitimately good to it. Well, meanwhile, the awful will just kind of riff on it and riff on it and riff on it. It's like, okay, yeah, that's funny. Those things exist, but can you build on this joke? Can you tell me something funnier, or can you do something with it? And that's usually where I see, that's where I draw the line at bad.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I suppose if you were to talk about anime specifically, two good examples would be the not-so-good one, or at least in my opinion, which would be Nadeshiko, where it's a blatant parody of giant robot anime, but it's kind of a bit too otaku-ish to be entirely funny, and some of the gags are like kind of lame. But I guess overall it's a positive rather than negative. But then something that does it really well would probably be Full Metal Panic Fumafu, which looked at Full Metal Panic, saw a perfect opportunity because a lot of fans were attached to the comedic elements of it, and just completely exploded that into a series that actually worked.
Yeah, I feel like around 2006, 2005 maybe, I was so done with anime parodying itself, because it was being leaned on so heavily in so many different shows. Like, it got to a point where it felt like every show had to have a giant robot or tokusatsu parody episode. It's like, yep, these sure are tropes from the giant robot genre. Are you going to do anything or tell any fucking jokes? Or are you just going to parody, quote unquote, you know, lazily parody giant robot shows? And it got ridiculous. And I'm seeing less of that now, which I'm happy about. They seem to be leaning less on the parody button. But at the same time, a lot of fans now will pass off a terrible show. Oh, it's a parody. It's satirizing these things. And there's nothing in the show to indicate that it's trying to satirize anything other than being, I guess, just being over the top is now a cue that this is a parody. That doesn't mean it's funny or it functions as anything other than an over the top giant robot show you've seen 100,000 times. I don't know. I feel like they've really wringed what they can out of parodying, anime parodying itself. I feel like that has been done to death at this point.
Yeah, I think that parodying of genres has definitely dug its own hole dug its own grave. And to be able to figure out what works, being able to still parody it, I think a good example, again, is Princess Jellyfish, because it looks at otaku culture, but it kind of bridges it out into more of the lesser-known ones, like Train Otaku and Doll Otaku and Old Man Otaku. And so it still fits into the otaku framework, but you get a lesser known side of it. And that's kind of what makes it more funny.
Right. I mean, not that I haven't seen, Shinesman is a classic, and that is an absolute classic. It's still funny today, but that was before they just ran the shit into the ground. Okay. Also from Daryl, what style of comedy would everyone like to see explored more often in anime? And are there any examples or titles you can think of?
I don't know. I guess I'm enjoying the trend that's going forward with Level E, and so I guess I want to see more Manzai stuff, because I love that in Level E Complex, and I'm really enjoying it in Level E. So I hope that they'll explore that more, because that's one of the really strong parts of Japanese cultural comedy, and it hasn't been used to as full an extent as it could. Mostly it's been like a one-off, and then, all right, we go back on.
As I said before, I think I really want to see a dark comedy, because there really aren't any, or at least any good ones. Like, Arakara Under the Bridge kind of tries to do it, but it's so over the top that it completely fails. And I think there's probably at least one good opportunity for that to work.
Okay. Personally, I want to see a little bit more absurdism like we got in Cromartie High School. That stuff can be really funny. Not doesn't mean random. It means it's carefully planned absurdism, like you see on Conan O'Brien. He does it. He's sort of the person doing it on TV the best. But I'd like to see more of that stuff. I think when they try, they can do it really, really well over there. Okay, Brad is on a limited schedule here, so we need to wrap up. Kuni Kohojo wants to know, for Alex and Brad, what's the one anime that you still laugh at no matter how many times you watch it?
I would have to say Azumanga Daioh. I don't know. There's something about Kiyohiko Azuma's humor in Azumanga Daioh, and then especially continuing on reading Yotsuba, that it just... it touches you in such a universal way that I'm never going to stop laughing at that, especially Yotsuba. I mean, it isn't an anime, but that's a manga that no matter how many times I read, I fall over laughing.
I would definitely agree with that. And actually, I think Yotsuba goes beyond Azumanga Daioh, and it's way funnier. And even though I know that Azuma doesn't want an anime to be made of it, I really, really think he should. But to be different than Brad, I guess I'll put out Cromarty High School. No matter how many times I watch it, I continually laugh at it. I would definitely go for the Japanese version, though, over the English one.
Oh, totally. The dub was not funny at all. The dub took something that was funny and turned it into something that's not funny. And again, totally subjective, but... yeah. I agree with both of you. Cromarty and Yotsubatsu makes me laugh, too. I've reread a couple of the volumes, and it always makes me chuckle. Okay, guys, well, we're out of time, but that was great. Thank you so much. I think we sort of wandered down a hall and tried to make it work. But yeah, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you
so much for having us.
Okay, everybody, that's our show. I want to thank Alex and Brad for joining me. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes, and we'll see you all next week.